Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. We have a topic today that I'm not sure we've done it. If we have, it's been quite a while, but we're going to talk about emotional affairs. Whoa. Why are we going to talk about that? Well, because somebody might be able to relate with it. I certainly can. And anyway, so we'll just go from there. But the cool thing is I don't have to do this all by myself. You get the voice of the man in brown with me today.
Yay, man in brown. Yeah, here I am.
Eric. Humble Eric.
Hey, I'm so happy that I'm here.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, actually, I am happy that I'm here. This is an awesome opportunity to be able to sit here and go out over the quote-unquote airwaves because, you know, it's internet radio. But, share what's going on.
Anyway, so, we're going to be talking about that momentarily coming up here. And I'm sure... My brother has lots to say about that. But anyway, in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with some encouragement for you guys. Because after all, that's what you're listening for, some encouragement. And you saw the topic. If this is you're listening to the podcast, I want to hear about it. So we want to get to it as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, we're going to give you a little encouragement. Anything pop in mind?
When I've been encouraged, Raul, I have to turn around and give the encouragement right back. And so yesterday I was in need of encouragement, and one of the things that I did is I went and I searched the scriptures to help me try and, you know, gain some understanding. And frankly, you know, I was just feeling worn out, tired, you know, drugged down from the issues that come from being in a ministry position. And as I was searching the scriptures, I came across 2 Thessalonians 3:13. It says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Yes. I'm like, okay, that's it right there, because I am feeling weary in doing good.
Yes.
And, I called a friend. I called Raul. But, he's rolling his eyes like, "You didn't have to tell him you called me." Well, I did, because, you know, you're somebody that I can trust. And so I called Raul and I talked to him about, you know, things that are going on. He gave me encouragement and I shared the fact that I came across this verse. And, it was really lifting to my spirit that, you know, God knows what I'm going through. He knows that his servants grow weary in doing good. So he threw this encouragement in there, and it says something similar in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain."
Amen.
And that's the way I was feeling. It's like, you know, is anything that I'm doing counting for anything? You know, so even though I don't always see the results, I know that my labor is not in vain, you know, and God's not even really concerned now that, you know, when I think about it, God's not even necessarily concerned with the result of my working for him, but my availability and my willingness to do the work for him, you know, it's not measured in results.
Yes.
But at the same time, God tells me that my work is not in vain.
Yes.
You know, Moses never saw the promised land.
That's right.
And he had to put up with all those quarreling.
He does now.
Yeah, he's seen it now. But you know, he had to put up with all those quarreling Israelites,
yes,
and they're building their golden calves, and they're grumbling because they're getting tired of manna, and you know.
Boy, it sounds kind of like our world today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So things never change.
Yeah, and so I just have to turn that encouragement right around to the guys out there. Just mm-hmm. don't grow weary in doing good, because, you know, we may not see the fruit of the labor, but, you know, God says that we are not laboring in vain.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt. The good thing about it is that you get opportunity to be able to share with others the same thing that you've experienced, and maybe they don't have to go through as much pain or heartache as a result of sharing with others, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the benefit of fellowship and what takes place. And so we get opportunities that God can be glorified, and that's what we want to take advantage of. We want to go there and not put an expectation on our actions or our deeds or whatever it is, our speech, whatever it is that we end up doing. Paul reminds us, he planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God is the increase. So it's all about God. He's the one that does the growing, you know. And so it's not us. We just have our little part, so we just do that little part and leave it from there. So anyway.
Yep.
All right, let's get into this thing. This thing all called
right.
Emotional affairs. Okay, so You lead. I'm going to follow here, and I know exactly what you want to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
And,
well, the idea of the emotional affair is, when we are bound to our wife, we're bound in every aspect of our being.
So let me ask a question right off the bat. Is it only pertain to men who are married?
No.
Okay, good.
We'll get to that.
No, I know, but
I
don't want to lose some of these guys at the very beginning. If they're saying, "Oh, it's only for married guys. I'm not married. I'm single." No, this applies to you also.
Yeah, it does.
Okay,
it does.
That's all.
And that's a good point.
Yes.
But the idea of the emotional affair is that, you know, even our emotions are things that we share with our wives.
Yes.
You know, and those are things that aren't to be shared with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two have become one flesh,
right?
So there's a serious, serious danger in growing in intimacy with somebody of the opposite sex who is not your wife,
right?
Because of the fact that it, you know, that not only does it steal that from your marriage, but it can lead to, you know, other things.
So, and I'm not trying to simplify everything, but the last thing I want to do is just assume that everybody understands what intimacy means. Now, you know as well as I do, there are men that have come in our lives that to mention that intimacy to them, they just think sex.
Yeah, right.
Okay? So, I mean, so what is it, how would you let somebody know that, hey, being intimate with another woman, what does that mean? It's not about having sex with her necessarily. What could it be? What we're talking about here?
It could be sharing the struggles with parenting with a friend. It could be talking about the joys that you've had during the day.
Yes.
It could be talking about the things that make you happy. It could be talking about the struggles that you even have with your wife.
Right. Yes, yes, okay. So you're really letting somebody into your heart and sharing, trusting that person, okay, for whatever reason. It may not be a motive necessarily intentionally, you know, or at the beginning of it. It's just a harmless type of conversation that takes place. Somebody who has a listening ear, or maybe somebody else may not want to hear.
Right. And that is such a way that Satan works on us.
Yes.
Is he will work on us slowly.
Yes.
You know, and so it can start out as something like that, something that seems just completely innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody, you know, you're sitting behind your desk at work.
Yes.
You know, you have that melancholy look in your eyes, and you know, a woman that you work with comes in the office and says, "Well, what's wrong?"
They sense something, right?
Yeah.
You know,
and so you start spilling your guts, and it's like, oh wow, this person listens, Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, and then you become even more willing to share with what's going on because you found an ear that'll listen and then she might be like, oh, you know, here's somebody who's more willing to speak to me than my own husband is.
Yes.
And so so what starts to happen is, you know, you get this emotional bond.
Yes.
Starting up.
Yes. And that creates more communication, not just at work, although you end up looking forward to going to work and all of a sudden your wife said, man, you're dressing up a little nicer going to work nowadays, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, it must be, oh yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, or whatever, you know? And, you know, so things start to happen in with this conversation that all of a sudden leads maybe into something outside the workplace, right? Like lunch or even a cup of coffee.
Well, it would actually, you know, like I was saying, that Satan will do us, take us in little steps. Mm-hmm. And so like that's where it could go next.
Yes.
You know, just an innocent lunch, an innocent coffee. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, we're out in public. It's not like we're trying to hide something.
Right.
You know, it's my coworker. This is all good. You know. But what we're doing is we're continuing to foster this level of intimacy with somebody that is not our spouse.
Yeah, because you're not necessarily talking about work.
even if you are talking about work.
Yes.
It becomes
at a different level of that, of being able to share like you would with your spouse. When mm-hmm. you'd come home and she would ask you, your wife would say, so how was work?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
I already talked about it with somebody at work. I don't need to talk to you about it.
I don't know why just your facial expression. That was pretty good.
It's got a great face for radio.
Yes, yeah. So anyways,
So not the real danger, but one of the dangers of this fostering this emotional intimacy is that it often grows into a real physical intimacy.
It can turn into that.
It can turn into that. But even if it doesn't turn into a physical intimacy, we're still giving to somebody who is not our wife something that we have pledged to give only to our wife.
Yeah.
And because, you know, it says that, you know, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, mm-hmm. and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That cleaving, which is, you know, a holding fast to, mm-hmm. that's our wife.
Yes.
Any sort of emotional attachment to another woman, that's, you know, that's taking away from that cleaving to your wife and it's giving it mm-hmm. to somebody else.
Right. And so often what ends up taking place back in this conversation that we've begun with this coworker, and we're using just a coworker as an example. It could be another a woman at church, maybe a woman mm-hmm. in your ministry that you're a part of, or a Bible study, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe someone who works at the church, you know, whomever. It's just another, it's a female, okay? Someone that you would start conversation with, and all of a sudden, wow, we've got some like interest, you know? And she asked me questions. And before I know it, man, I can run some things by her. You know, this is what's going on. Before you know it, you're talking about the challenges that you and your spouse are having. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, boy, talk about getting intimate, where all of a sudden she said, oh, I understand that, you know. And or for whatever reason, doesn't matter how it's going to sound, but it's going to sound like this person really cares. And, wow, maybe this is who I need to be with.
Oh, but Raul, it's not like that. She's just a friend.
Yeah.
So what's the big deal? If, you know, I've got a female friend, what's the big deal? So I'm asking you, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? Well, here's the deal. You actually, as a result of being intimate and sharing with this woman, I believe that's a sin. I believe that I've committed that sin of adultery. I've actually mm-hmm. believed that I've compromised my covenant that I had with my wife, that she is the one, that now I'm actually sharing verbally, okay, the bed with her, okay?
Yeah.
And this is kind of, if I look at it the same way that Christ looks at the body, his church, we're the bridegroom. We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. And we're here, okay? We're his. And it breaks his heart for us to be doing things that are not lined up with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. I mean, the enemy lures us away, takes us away, yeah. tries to say, hey, this is greener over here. This is better for you
over
here.
Yeah, he wants us to be dissatisfied with our wife.
Yes, exactly. So that, you know, when there's disagreement and then there becomes discord, and before you know it, it's dismantled in a sense, okay? And that's what the enemy wants to be able to do. He wants to be able to take us out any way that he possibly can. But he hates us. He mm-hmm. hates you. He hates you who's listening here because you're listening to this, okay? He hates your spouse. He hates your children. Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's trying to kill them. He's trying to get them so that they would follow him into hell, okay? Instead of our Lord into eternity with him.
Yeah, that's what the enemy comes to do.
That's it.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We say it on this show all the time.
Yeah.
But Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And that's why the marriage picture is so prevalent throughout the Bible.
Yes.
Because the church is the bride of Christ. And us being in the church are part of that bride.
Yes.
And that is, you know, it's a marriage covenant. It's a, you know, it's a for all time covenant. You know, the marriage covenant that we have on this earth is until one of us dies. Okay. And because of the hardness of our hearts, it says God allows for divorce in the case of sexual immorality.
Yes. Yes.
Because of the hardness of our hearts. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. But the picture that we have throughout Scripture is that God loves his people like a bridegroom loves a bride.
Yes.
You know, and not just that. I mean, you have to take that really and you have to multiply it by 1,000 because we can't really even understand what it is to love perfectly like our God loves.
Yes, no doubt. Well, we're going to take a break, but one of the things I want to just leave here, a little scripture as they're listening to everything else. 2 Timothy 2:22, and it does not matter what age you are. You know, the book of Timothy applies to you also, even if you're 60-something. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998. Come running like a prodigal. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul, we're talking about the emotional affairs. I'm going to just read something here, and then we'll go right into where we were talking about. It says, there are warning signs that an innocent friendship could be leading to an emotional affair.
Mm-hmm.
When we start to feel a need to hide aspects of a relationship, We are crossing a line into inappropriate territory.
Yep.
Emotional distance between spouses or an increase in the number of arguments may indicate one spouse is turning to another for closeness. Intimacy requires closeness, and that cannot happen if a spouse gives his or her closeness to someone outside the marriage. Okay, so we need to, as you mentioned earlier, we need to guard against this sort of thing. Okay, but there are certain things that are little red flags that can actually remind us of things that
happen. Some of those red flags, like you read, starting to feel the need to hide any aspect of a relationship.
Yep.
That's a red flag. The emotional distance between your spouse, that's a red flag.
Yep.
An increase in the arguments with your spouse, you know, that can be a red flag.
Yes.
One of the things that I would also consider a red flag is if you say you look at this one, you know, this one woman who has been, you know, attractive to you.
Yes.
And then you look back at your wife and you say, I wish.
Yep. Yep.
If you see something in somebody else and you turn around and you look at your wife and say, I wish that my wife could be more like her in this way.
Yeah.
That's, to me, is a really big warning sign as
emotional fear. And with that stirring is the fact that you don't go to that next step of saying, oh, I wish we could just talk alone, you know, where there's nobody else around. You know, you just don't even want to go there. You know, that's the temptation that you need to, again, in 2 Timothy 2:22, that you need to flee the evil desires of youth. Because that's a youthful thought. It truly is. You know, it mentions that because those are the things that men and women were designed to be married at a youthful age when their hormones are just bursting and everything else. And God had intended for marriage to multiply more and more followers of His. Okay? That's what the whole intent was. So God created sex and He created all of these good feelings because I've heard that before. I used to use it myself. Oh, but they make me feel so good. You know, I haven't done anything, but it just feels good to be with them. Oh, I've never had anybody like this in my life. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'd call that one right off the bat. So another one, don't spend more time with another person than you do with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple, you know. You don't come home from work and say, you know, I've got a meeting this evening, work meeting. I'm going to have to go back to work and we're probably going to have dinner or something quick to eat. So don't make anything for me and I'll be back, you know, when I get back type of thing. You know, you just don't spend more time with that individual than you do with your spouse.
Yeah, because time is just going to it shows where your priorities are.
Yes.
And I know that guys on the radio are saying, but, you know, I work with this person. I'm with her all the time.
Yes.
You know, that's okay. In a work situation, you know, there are aspects of the fact that, you know, we are, in a sense, forced to spend more time with somebody, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's things still that we can do to safeguard, you know, that where you want to be sure that you're not sharing anything emotionally with the person, with this coworker.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a completely open door policy, meaning if somebody comes into my office, that door stays open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't want to have any sort of appearance of anything going on.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, it has to be transparent. You know, I can't allow any sort of idea that something is going on, you know, so that I would offer that up as something that you can do in the workplace so that with the amount of time that we spend with somebody, we're not drawn away emotionally.
And again, I don't want to just, because I know how guys are, how men think sometimes. And when you hear a couple of guys are saying, hey, here are some of the things to look out for, et cetera, we use the analogy of work. Okay. And all of a sudden you say, well, I don't have anybody like that at work. But you have somebody like that in ministry or at church or somebody that's outside the church. Maybe it's just a checker at the grocery store that you see over and over again. You know that she's there all the time. And you go through her line to go buy something. I'm here to buy this artichoke. That's all I need to. How are you doing?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Because we'll justify that, hey, I didn't fall into that category. No, but the category here is actually sinning, is it's betraying your wife, okay? And actually, you're betraying God also, okay? So when we end up doing some of these things of sharing intimate details with another person, before we go home and share them with our wife, you know, like maybe the boss ended up, and I'm using that analogy, it doesn't just apply to that, but you're told that, hey, if you keep at, you know, doing this, we're going to have to let you go or something. Well, you don't share that with this woman, this other woman who's a coworker or whatever she is, okay, before you share it with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to your wife. She is your helpmate. That's the one that God had said that you, the two of you will become one flesh. You're it, you know, and you want to honor what God has said, I believe.
Amen. Now, what about the situation where, you know, wherever this emotional attachment is growing, whether it's in, you know, workplace, ministry, you know, helping in the kitchen at the church, you know, the children's ministry at church, or even volunteering at the food line, you know, it can be in all sorts of circumstances. Yes. But this woman's, you know, what if she just comes up to you and says, "Hey, would you like to go out and have some coffee with me?" So, I mean, what sort of response could we have there as men in order to safeguard our marriage?
You just simply say, no, unless you're inviting my wife and I together.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, you know, my wife would love to meet you. I'm going to bring her along and we're going to see what kind of response you get.
Yeah. See, but the enemy, this is how things work. When we're in an argument or in an indifference at home with our wife, and we don't see eye to eye, and we're holding on to I'm right and she's wrong, and she's doing the same thing in her head, and there's no communication taking place at all, that makes it a breeding open ground for the enemy to be able to bring somebody in that is a different flavor, and all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, I'd love to have a cup of coffee. You know, or why don't we just do lunch, you know, or whatever, you know, it's like, it's no harm, no foul. My wife's not talking to me anyway, so I'm going to go talk with somebody else. Wait a minute here. Whoa. Pull back on those reins here, brother. You know, anyway.
Yeah. Proverbs 6:25 says, do not desire her beauty in your heart and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes.
Yes.
Then down in verse 27, it says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I love the wisdom of Solomon, but I also think that it's kind of amazing that he really didn't even listen to his own wisdom. He's guilty of doing some, you know, horrendous things, and he married a lot of women. And they ended up drawing his heart away, and the entire nation of Israel split in two because of what Solomon did. And here he is, he's teaching his son, and it turns out that his son was even worse off than he was.
Yes, yes.
You know, so even having the knowledge doesn't necessarily make us wise.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I mean, Solomon was wise, but he didn't act on it.
Yep.
And all the wisdom that he passed on to his son said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, but we have this written down for us. It's recorded for us in God's word so that we can go to it. Those of us who are seeking God and say, and do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. You know, and I can
those
say,
are pretty big eyelashes.
Well, you know, this, It's kind of, you know, a woman can bat her eyes at us in more than one way.
Yes.
It's more than just the eyelashes. It can be, you know, it can be a small gesture of a kind word. It can be a light touch on your shoulder as she passes by.
Right.
You know, and these are the things that start to stir the emotions in us.
Let's take a break. We'll come back from the break and continue on with a few more of these red flags to look forward to, but you had mentioned a little scenario about even looking like there's improper things taking place, how others might perceive it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, the NIV says, But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people.
Amen.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and there's your fire near the chest right there, and I think it'd probably burn your clothes, because that's a, I tell you what, you got to see this one on YouTube, this song, Fire. Oh my
Yeah,
goodness.
We're talking about holy fire there.
That's right, that's right. But anyway,
the good kind of fire.
It reminds us, anyway, it can get you going. Try it with your family. Hey, get all the kids there, watch YouTube, and just and turn it up, man, and I tell you what, you'll all be dancing around and clapping. So anyway,
So
you had given me a hard time saying we were talking to me during the break. You know, this is all the stuff we need to be talking about on the show. So go ahead.
Oh, so you're just going to drop it right back in. Okay. All right. Well, we talked about, we talked a little bit about living transparently. And I think that there's a couple levels that we need to discuss in that. And one of the things that when we speak about living transparently, we can keep in mind that would I be doing this if my wife were with me?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. See, we imagine her standing right to my left side.
But wait. No, I want to do that because that'll ruin the time.
Oh, it's such a killjoy.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, those are, I mean, that is, that's a huge, imaginary deal that we sit there and we go, oh, no, I'll feel guilty. I would feel bad. I can't say those things to another woman while my wife is right there because I know that she would look at me.
Then there's a big red flag for you.
Exactly. So
if I feel guilty, I would feel guilty with
exactly.
my wife standing right there,
that's right.
You know, hey, ixnay on the talking.
Yeah.
You know, or on the gesture or whatever.
Now, these are what we're given here are hints of what to look for so that you don't fall into that trap. But I'm going to tell you, there are some guys who intentionally want to do that just like that for that reason.
Yeah,
they are looking forward to sinning.
Because it feels good.
It feels pleasurable.
It's a comfort that is outside of what God has ordained as holy living.
Yes.
But we forget about the fact that we have comfort outside of this, and that's the Holy Spirit that resides within us, man. If we seek Him first and submit to God, the devil will flee from you.
Yes.
You know, if we seek God on a daily basis and we say, you know, God, I need the comfort that only Your Spirit can give, He's going to give that to you. Jesus says, you know, what father would not give, you know, good gifts to his son, you know, like if he asked for, how does it go? If he asked for,
fish, you're not going to give him a rock.
Right. Yeah. Know? And then he goes on to speak about the fact that, that if we ask of the Father, how much more is he willing to give his Holy Spirit to us?
Right.
You know, because God is, you know, the perfectly loving God who gives good gifts. He gives comfort to us, but yet we go and we seek it someplace else. You know what that is? That's idolatry. Mm-hmm. It's sin. Mm-hmm. When we do that, when we seek comfort from anywhere that God has ordained for us to have comfort.
But, you know, we fall into the trap of thinking that I'm different. I know that that leads to sin, and it won't lead to sin. I'm just having a little precarious enjoyment here of just being able to do this sort of thing. That is still sin.
Yeah, and we can go right back to that proverb, right? Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not get burned?
Right, right.
The answer to that is no.
But the fact is, plain and simple, is that we end up having to do some of the things that are, as you had mentioned already, that we believe, okay, that are going to be, that God's going to look on us favorably for loving him by being obedient to what he wants. Because that's truly what this thing is all about. It's about us being able to give love, show love for our Savior, to God. You know, he's a priority. He doesn't say make your wife and your family first. He says make me first.
Right.
If you make me first, now, well, let's go down the priority ladder of rungs that should be in priority. The one after him or below him is going to be your wife. Then your children. Now, then your family. And then and it goes from there. And I'm telling you, when that gets messed up in any way, shape, or form, and we bring in something that is out of the public or out of life, idolatry, right? We bring that in and throw that right in the middle of things. Guess what? This idol goes right above God and everything else that is important to you, that God wants you to realize. And so anyway, so we need to be alert and always keeping aware of what's going on around us. And part of what we're doing here is saying, hey, listen, watch what you're doing. Pray for you, your family, rather, not just for you. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Ask for a hedge of protection or protection over your marriage and over your family, no matter what type of situation is taking place at home. We're to man up, okay, because this is the battle.
Right.
This is the battle. This is where all of a sudden, man, you've got rounds being shot at you. You got missiles being shot at you. You got everything being shot at you, and you're in the midst of this. And if you don't have all of your armor on, brother, you're going to get injured. Okay.
Yeah. You know, but you did mention pray for yourself. You know, and that's not something that's wrong. You can ask God to give you the strength for today.
Right.
So, you know, and not only that, but let a brother in. Tell a brother about, you know, the struggles that you're having in this, and ask for a brother to keep you covered in prayer.
So wouldn't that be the same as being intimate with another person?
This is on a different level.
Okay.
This is where we seek fellowship with brothers who are willing, who, you know, are like-minded and are willing to, you know, to stand and be like Aaron, who held up Moses' arms during the battle. You know, we need people to support us.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you know, how brothers can come alongside us and to help us in our struggles. They, you know, we can be accountable to them in sharing what's going on, and they can keep us lifted in prayer. And, you know, we got James 5:16, which says to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective as it's working.
Yes.
Well, who's the righteous man? Anybody who's in Jesus Christ is the righteous man, because we are covered by his blood, and that makes our prayers powerful.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And the fact is that when we're in the midst of a battle, you want men to be able to cover your back, to be able to watch. And when we can be honest and upfront with another brother, he gets to know us. They can actually sense when something is not quite right, you know, whether they're talking to you on the phone or even through a text or whatever. And that's what we want to be able to do. We want to be able to protect ourselves. We want other brothers around us to be able to remind us of certain things, like the things you're hearing about right now. And these are the things that are so, so important. Another thing that you might want to do is that you might want to make sure that you're spending more time with your wife, okay, as often as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not married in this situation, what you don't want to do is try to bring in another woman, okay, to kind of fill in. Maybe your wife is no longer with you for whatever reason, and you have the children, and it's so difficult to not want to have, you know, someone to share some of the burden or the challenge in a sense, but just your intimacy. You just want to make it God-centered. You want to make it God-centered. If God is not in the middle of every one of our relationships, okay, mm-hmm. then I'm looking at somebody as Jesus would be looking at them, okay, and them looking at me as Jesus, not that I'm Jesus, that looking to me as Jesus would, that's exactly what needs to take place. I need to be able to emulate Christ in everything that I'm doing.
And anything short of that is sinful.
That's right.
And for the unmarried guy, you know, I will, you know, that man, I have to say that man because I'm married, so that man needs to be aware of the fact that he does not want to be the one who is a temptation for another woman.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Scripture says, you know, woe to the person who draws somebody into sin, you know. And so we don't want to be that guy. So that guy needs to be mindful and respectful of, you know, another woman's marriage.
Yes.
And even if you have a man, you know, an unmarried man and an unmarried woman, all of our thoughts about that person need to remain pure and holy.
Yes.
Any sort of lustful thought, that's sin.
Yes. You know, one of the things I think is so important is that we remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So everything that you do, do it as you're glorifying God. Everything. And when we can actually try to keep from and maintain a pure thought life, we're to capture every thought that comes into our minds, right?
Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it?
It is. And it's probably an impossibility to be able to do it with every thought. But what you try to do is you try to go ahead and do that any way that you possibly can. And as a result of that, what's going to end up taking place is that you're going to be more God-centered. You're going to be thinking more of Him rather than what your desires are.
Yeah, okay? And you hit on something there in that when we seek to have a pure thought life, it's not just getting rid of the impure thoughts, but they need to be replaced.
Yes.
They need to be replaced with pure thoughts of God.
Yes.
Because God never tells us to be emptied of anything, but to be filled up in Him.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not just about like, okay, Eric, stop thinking that. Eric, stop thinking that. Eric, stop thinking that.
No.
That doesn't do any good.
Exactly.
You know, that's like, it would be like me just, you know, whipping myself on the back with, you know, something to make me stop thinking that way. No, it needs to be replaced by the thoughts of our loving, holy God.
Yes. Yes.
You know, even cry out to Him and say, Lord Jesus, take these thoughts away from me and fill me with You. Fill me with thoughts of You.
So the best way to be able to battle this stuff on is to continually be in God's presence. When
Amen.
You're in God's presence, brother, there is light and there is no darkness, because darkness cannot share the same space as light. When light comes in, darkness flees. Okay? So as a result of being just aware of His presence in our lives, okay, acknowledging that, simply as saying, being in gratitude, when we are saying, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to do this radio show. Lord, thank you for my lungs being able to work this day. Lord, thank you for my brother Eric and all of his challenges, so he'll be able to know how to be able to deal with them next time. Father, thank you for whatever it is that you have in store. See, the more often that I'm saying thank you, Lord, for every little thing that takes place in my life, He's going to protect you. He's going to have light shining on you, okay? Acknowledging God, there's something about that. Instead of listening to secular music, listen to some CDs of worship music, worshiping God, you know? It doesn't mean you can't enjoy other things in life. But brother, we have to be, where is it, in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, where it talks about that the enemy's out in the high grass.
Oh, yeah.
He's waiting for us to just falter, just to stumble, just to become weak yep. or desirable about something about other than being with the herd, in a sense. And he's just waiting out there to stomp on us, man. And it's not a stomp. He's out there to kill us and kill your family and take them out, your children.
Yeah. And, you know, and he doesn't always just wait for us to wander off. He will lure us away. And he does that in so many different ways. And one of the ways that he does it is what we're talking about this morning, where we have, you know, we start to develop an emotional bond. Slowly, it's the, you know, like the frog in the pot of water, right?
Yes.
You put a frog in some cold water and he's happy. If you try and put a frog in some hot water, he's going to jump right out of there. But if you put that frog in some cold water, then you turn the burner on and it starts getting hotter and hotter and hotter.
He
never jumps out
it.
And he dies. So, and that's the way our enemy works. He works slowly to lure us away. And then he's like that lion. And he takes us out.
So I'm going to get rid of my pet frog now so that, you know, he's like the enemy, yeah. right? You know? Anyway. Well, brother, it's a good topic and some things that that we brought not only awarenesses to ourselves but to the men who are listening today. So thanks for being here with me today, bro.
Thank you.
How about you praying for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the wives that you have given us. Lord God, I ask that you would give us a heart to be their protectors, their lovers and their cherishers, God, that we would guard their hearts and that we would guard our hearts through prayer and the study of your word so that we would not be drawn away to impure things. In Jesus' name, amen.